What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick edition. I'm your host, joined by the team, really. I mean, just we're a full team. Chrissy, Amanda, Allie are all with me in studio, and we're just making content dreams, selling. Are we selling dreams? Making dreams come true? Solving problems? I don't know.
I don't know if we're making dreams come true, but you're helping people's dreams come true.
We got a big week for you. Three episodes this week. Congratulations. Tomorrow, we're bringing back fan favorite Dave Holmes, who of you loved when we recapped last season. Dave is going to join us because we're going to talk about, obviously, a lot of things going on in Bachelor Nation, Bachelor News, most notable Colton. On Wednesday, we have a highly anticipated episode I think many of our audience members have been looking for. We're going to discuss introversion, extroversion? I don't know. Being introverted versus being extroverted and everything in between with Susan Cain, who is the author of Quiet. It's like the book about being an introvert versus an extrovert out there right now. And so we are excited to have Susan with us. I'm just finishing up the book, and it's a very fascinating book. I learned a lot about myself, and I think so many stereotypes and how we misunderstand what it is to be an introvert versus an extrovert and the history behind it. I think you guys will all really enjoy it. I promise that many of you listening will understand yourselves better after listening to that episode. I promise you.
I look forward to that.
I promise you. Let's get to the callers.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
So good. What's your name?
Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. How old are you?
I am 26.
How can I help?
So I wrote in about the marriage one just because I thought it would be some good entertainment, but I've been having issues with my husband for the past pretty much the entirety of our relationship, so past 4 years.
Before you got married?
Yeah.
Should we just kill him? No, just kidding.
Maybe. Sometimes I feel like I want to. But not actually for legal purposes. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, we'll be clear, and we're not killing anyone. So what's the problem?
Okay, so the main thing that we've been struggling with the whole relationship is just him with other girls, not having a full-on relationship, but just doing like sneaky stuff. Like the most recent thing, kind of like the most, not most wild thing that's happened, but he messaged this girl on Snapchat. This was about a year ago, last April. And am I allowed to use like derogatory words?
Yeah, say whatever you want.
He messaged her on Snapchat while I was laying in bed next to him, asleep, that her pussy was the best he's ever had. And she sent it to me the next morning. She took a screenshot and sent it to me. So it's just like stuff like that.
You say stuff like that, like he like doesn't close cabinets.
He doesn't.
Sure.
I walk downstairs every morning and close every cabinet.
This is someone he had slept with before you met?
Yes. Actually, the first time I had met her when we weren't dating yet, he introduced me to her as his cousin, not as like a previous, I wouldn't call it ex, but thing.
And when did you find out that this wasn't his cousin and that he...
Last year when she sent me that.
Oh, so when he Snapchat her, you had no idea mm-hmm. who this was.
Correct.
Got you. And you thought his cousin was reaching out to you.
I kind of had a feeling that it wasn't for the entirety, but I just kind of let that one go.
All right. And so why are you still with him?
The main part for me is I like to consider myself someone with high morals. And, you know, I made this commitment to someone. And
I get that.
You want to work through everything to the best of your ability, not because he necessarily deserves it, but because that's who I am as a person. And so sure. I guess that's probably the main reason. So,
okay. Fair. Are you religious?
Pretty. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm Christian.
I understand all that. I don't, I mean, I haven't met God. I mean, maybe I have, I don't know. Like, but I just don't know if, you have to like take one for the team for the rest of your life, regardless of his actions, just because you made a promise. I don't know. Your whole relationship. Is it safe to say that your entire relationship has a foundation of lies?
I mean, probably. So, and when he's working at things, he works really hard. You know, he does everything right. He's a hardworking, generally like good guy. Like he's a good person, and he works hard towards our relationship.
What do you mean by that? We define hardworking. You talk about his work, or
just being supportive of me, emotionally. You know, he works hard so we can.
Do you guys have kids?
No.
What? Something else?
No, that's kind of been the big, I want kids here. Not super soon, but soon enough that I've been wondering, like, is this the person I want to have kids with? But
do you trust him?
I mean, I trust him with many aspects, but like with other women, that's not, no.
Well, what do you trust him about?
As far as other women goes, that he wouldn't completely cross all of the boundaries of cheating.
What makes you so sure about that?
I mean,
just because you don't know that he has.
Yeah.
But you know that he's lied to you?
Yeah.
How many times has he lied to you? To your knowledge?
10 to 12 times.
Wow. That's a lot that you've caught.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sleuthy, so I think I've caught most of it.
And has he ever owned up to his mistakes before he got caught?
Not before.
But after he got caught.
Yeah, but after he holds himself pretty accountable.
Sure. Well, you've proven to him that you'll forgive him, so he might as well just be like, yeah, I did it. I mean, why? True. Why fight with you? You know, you're not going anywhere. There's just no reason to think, other than like your confidence and your sleuthiness, and I have no doubt that you'd be a great private eye and someone, you know, maybe The Bachelor should hire you to do background checks on people. But things fall through the cracks, you know? And so there's a good chance that you haven't found out all his lies, right? And, right. And yeah, again, the fact that he owns up to them has more to do with the fact that you have proven to be very forgiving. So my question and concern for you is, how do we know this is ever really going to change? What's his motivation to change?
That's probably my question too. But I think that the only thing that ever makes anything change temporarily is me threatening to leave. The last time something happened, I left to just go home and stay with my parents for a couple weeks and told him, you know, I just needed to think about our relationship, if it was what I wanted, what stuff like that. And
what did he say?
I mean, he gave me the space that I needed and said, okay, whatever you decide is your decision. And
what was he doing while you were taking space?
Going to work. He works pretty crazy hours. He works over 100 hours a week. So
doing what?
He's in the military. He works in the Navy. He's an engineer.
Have you been to therapy?
We have. It was actually his idea.
Okay.
So we started last fall, and then
what's therapy like?
Pretty decent. I haven't found that it's been effective, really. I mean, last time I found something out was only a couple weeks ago now, like 3-ish weeks ago. So it seems great.
Have you ever been like, why do you lie to me?
Yeah, and his reaction is, or his response is that he doesn't want to lose me, or
maybe rephrase the question. Why do you do these things? Like, it's his actions that are lying, right?
Right.
Like, I don't want to lose, you know? Like, first he's doing the thing that he has to lie about. That in itself is a lie, by going behind your back and doing things he shouldn't do in a committed relationship, right? And then not telling you is another lie on top of the first lie of the action of doing it. So the excuse of, well, I didn't tell you because I didn't want to lose you, while very shitty on its own, still doesn't address like why he's doing these things to hurt you, despite making a promise to not. To protect you, to protect the relationship, till death do you part, you know, through thick and thin. And like, you know, he's abusing his vows.
I think.
So you don't know.
I have like, yeah, kind of, I don't
you
know.
You have guesses.
Right. Yeah. My guess I would say
that hasn't been caught up in therapy. Like you're going to therapy and you have no idea why he's like doing this shit.
The main reason that he in therapy says that it's happening is that he just doesn't feel completely loved by me, or like I.
Oh, it's your fault.
I mean, I would say that I pull away when that stuff happens.
Fuck so, yeah.
It makes sense, but in those moments, he has expressed that that's. He just isn't feeling the love from me or like getting the assurance that he needs from me. And so
if
he doesn't necessarily blame it on me,
let me
but
ask
like
you a question.
In a backwards
let
way.
Me ask you a question. If I somehow, and you could believe me and said, just between you and me, God's totally okay with you getting a divorce. And I promise you within 5 years, you're going to find this amazing guy who respects you, loves you, protects the relationship, doesn't lie to you, and God's going to be your biggest cheerleader. What would you do? If I could guarantee you that.
I mean, I would probably leave.
I think that's your answer. But listen, you know, again, I'm not God, you know, so like, you know, if you end up burning in hell and it's like, don't blame it on me, but I'll be there with you too, if that's the case, you know, we'll have a party, but I'm just like, listen, we do a lot of things out of fear, you know, God, shame, you know, vows, and I'm not here. Like marriage is very important to me. I want to get married and I want to be in a monogamous relationship and I want to make that commitment to a woman and I want to live up to those expectations. But unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we get it wrong. And you at least can have the comfort of knowing that you never were even given a chance to get it right because he's been lying to you the whole time. You know, you made vows to someone who was lying to you while you were giving those vows. It was like, you were given vows under false pretenses, you know, like you didn't have all the information. He was lying to you. And he continues to lie to you and then blames you. Like he's playing the victim. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, you're only 26 and it sounds like right now you're just going to be a prisoner. And thank God you don't have kids with this guy yet, right? Because, oh my God, that'd be so hard. If you decide to leave this guy, I'm sure the divorce process is going to suck as it always does. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. There'll be a period of sadness and grief. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel of like, he can be out of your life fully and completely in the near future. And you can start that very young and prosperous life. And you have everything in front of you. You know, you're an attractive, sweet person. You know, you probably have a lot of great qualities. A lot of guys are going to be so excited to like give you the love that you deserve as long as you expect it for yourself. Right. And I think that's, you know, I'm worried for you that you're starting to think that maybe you don't deserve it or you shouldn't expect it because, well, this is what, you know, I just need to be happy with this. That bullshit, you know. Hey, moms out there, those little fuckers driving you crazy. Well, Headspace will help you. Well, I don't know if it's really going to help with the kids, but it will help you, you know, get centered through guided meditation. Also, if you don't have kids, I don't have kids. I'm going crazy every day. And I got to tell you, meditation has been a big help for me to just, it helps me be present for me. You know, I have a hard time being present, thinking about past and future. Those things will mess you up. But meditation has been a big help for me. And Headspace has really helped me do that from the comfort of my home. Headspace is a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditation and an easy to use. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. Headspace approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, over 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. You deserve to feel happier in Headspace. Is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/VIALL. That is headspace.com/VIALL for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditation for every situation. Be a master, take a class. Hey, there is something in your life that you've always wanted to get good at. There's not a person listening to this podcast that hasn't thought, I would like to be good at this. Well, I'll tell you what, Masterclass has a class for you, and it's taught by the best experts in all their fields. Gordon Ramsay teaching cooking, Chris Voss teaching the art of negotiation. We have the great Robin Roberts teaching FX and authentic communication. So many great experts out there. Tony Hawk teaching skateboarding. I mean, truly the best of the best are teaching you how to be a master in whatever it is you want to excel in. I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every masterclass, and for our Viofile listeners, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/VIALL. That is masterclass.com/VIALL for 15% off masterclass. I think God's gonna love you, right? He's gonna love you. Say you're sorry. My bad, God. You know, I don't know. Like, I'm Catholic, so I can just go to confession and be like, "Hey, I fucked up." You know, we could. I'm joking, but I just don't think, you know, you're gonna be doomed because you chose not to be a prisoner in this relationship. And I think if you can answer the question that if you knew that God would forgive you and that you would find happiness outside of this relationship, and you weren't making your choices based off of fear, you would leave. And I don't think fear is a very good motivator for making choices about your happiness. That sounded really smart. If you can make a t-shirt or something out of it. I think, have you gone to therapy on your own?
No, unfortunately, my job field kind of prevents me from doing that.
Interesting. Why? What is?
It's government work. So any sort of like mental health concern is considered like a weakness or a threat.
Is this the only job you can ever have?
It's the one that I love.
So. Oh, you do love it. Okay, you love it. All right.
But I think that would be very beneficial. I wish I could do it. So I try and do other things like lots of journaling, or I'll follow.
Well, you can always call in. I'm not a therapist, but you know, I'll do my best. What do your parents say? What do your friends say?
My parents don't have the best marriage, so I try not to take advice from them because
fair.
Not a kind of marriage I want to be in.
Do you think that regardless of whatever choice you make, do you think if you leave this relationship, they will still love you?
I mean, yeah, but they certainly wouldn't support that decision.
Are they fully aware of what you're dealing with?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my parents don't support all my decisions either. They still love me.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom, she told me that I had my expectations were too high once on the phone. This was like last week, and I was like, okay, mom, thanks. And then I got off the phone.
Maybe you should have told
your
mom that her expectations are too low for herself.
She would have been real feisty about that one.
Probably, but listen, our parents, lovely, they're our heroes, but they're not actual heroes, right? And they make mistakes, and there's things that they got wrong in their life. And sometimes we have a tendency of, you know, projecting that shit onto our friends and families and loved ones and kids. And
My friends have a really hard time because our friend group is really close and they all love him a lot. He's, you know, fun, kind. Everyone describes him as like one of the kindest people that you'll ever meet. He's always willing to like lend a helping hand stuff. So all of my friends love him. So that's a really hard barrier to break through to. My close friends are very supportive in the sense that they, you know, whatever I decide, they'll choose to support.
Yeah.
But it would definitely bring a lot of judgment on me, or I think a lot of people would be upset at me.
Fuck them.
In our friend group.
Yeah, get different friends. Keep the ones that support you. I know it's sad, but I promise you, like, there are people who will be your friends, and sometimes, you know, people can make choices because they're protecting their own self-interest. They like the group. Let's keep the group together. The group's fun. Don't want to fuck up the group. So like, deal with your shit, you know, put up with the fact that your husband lies to you and cheats with you and you don't trust him and he's Snapchatting random girls and you have literally zero reason to believe anything he says because you catch him lying. You spend all this energy sleuthing. I mean, that's fucked up. You're a legit prisoner. You don't deserve it.
Well, thanks. I don't think I deserve it either.
Yeah. I know you don't. And so find the friends. Know what you deserve. And then only accept the people who support what you know you deserve. And that's it. And the people who don't support that, be done with them. Parents, you don't be done with them. You know, well, they'll still love you and you deal with their bullshit and whatever. But friends, done. You're 26.
I mean, it feels so old. Everyone's having kids.
You're not. You're going to blink and you're going to be 35, 40, 50, 60. And you're going to look back and think about like this time in your life and what you do now is, I mean, think about how impactful what you do now is going to change the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty safe bet he's not going to magically change, but you can change so much, right? And in 4 years, you know, and again, it might take 5 or 6 years to find a guy. I don't know. Maybe it might take 6 months. I don't know. I think you should prepare yourself for taking long. It's not going to happen overnight. But then all of a sudden you're 30, you meet a guy. That's 4 years from now. It feels like a really long time, and you're only 30. And that's like, well, then you're 40 with this guy, and it's great. And you have, you know, maybe 2 kids together. But then you're 40, and that's, those are 10 happy years rather than like 10 miserable years. And, yeah. You know.
Yeah. My biggest fear, I think, that whenever my friends ask me about this situation or they want updates, how are things going and whatnot, my biggest fear is that if I don't do something now, which no one can predict the future, is it going to result in him completely cheating, which I guess is a weird way to say it, but just like full
on.
He's cheated.
He's cheated on you. That's it. He's cheated on you. Like, you're getting into semantics in terms of, and your ego is just like, well, he didn't like fuck her. Or maybe he fucked her, but he didn't come all over her face. You know, like, I mean, he cheated on her. You're like, he's Snapchatting girls and complimenting how great their pussies are. Like, I don't know what you, that's cheating. There's no, like, degrees. But, you know, you're protecting yourself because you don't, you're afraid to leave. And I get it. Like, I'm not judging you. And, like, we've all done this. I've done what you've done. But I really think you should. You need to focus on what you believe and what you deserve, and you prioritize that over all else. And if you stick to your guns on that and get through some difficult times, and you're going to lose some friends, you might have some people mad at you, but I promise you, you'll be glad you did. You will find the people who support healthy relationships and you empowering yourself. And it's, I'm not saying there might be some sadness and there's some difficult times ahead, but I promise you, you won't regret it.
Well, if that's what ends up happening, I'll call back in a year and give you an update.
All right. All right. Well, best of luck, but don't make your decisions about your happiness based off of fear.
I will take that to heart.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right.
It
bye-bye.
Was very nice talking to you.
I'm rooting for you.
Bye. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm 23 and I'm from Sacramento.
Hi, Katie. How can I help?
Hi. Okay. So the other day I had a birthday party about 2 weeks ago.
Happy birthday.
And I was really excited. Thank you. I was really excited because I haven't really like partied with my friends since COVID started. And so it was like a bunch of my friends in the same room. And I was really excited. And we were just like dancing. And then I happened to kiss my female friend.
What do you mean by that? Like, yeah, it's just like, what do you just like happen to kiss? Like,
okay, the memory is kind of fuzzy, but to my understanding, I just like, I probably asked her, but I was probably like, can I kiss you? And she was like, okay. And then I like kissed her, and then I have a boyfriend. So I went to, and then I went to go tell him.
How old is he?
And how old?
Yeah.
Oh, he is 23 also. We're the same age.
Uh-huh.
So I went to go tell him, and I was like, yeah, I just kissed my friend. He was like, oh, it's cool. So I kissed her again, like one more time. But it was just like fun party kiss, or so I thought. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh, did you have fun at the party last night? And
To your friend or your boyfriend?
Oh, to my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you kissed your friend. We're over. And I was like, what? You said you were, oh, and then I kind of remembered, and I was like, oh, you said you were cool with it though. I thought we were still having a fun time. And he was like, no, like, you broke my trust, we're over. And so I was just like really upset. I didn't want it to be over just based off of that. And yeah, I was just like really, really upset.
Okay. And where are we now?
Okay, so now it's been 2 weeks since it's happened. So the first week was like really bad. The next day was Easter, and he had agreed to come to my house with my family. And he was like, yeah, I don't really want to like.
We didn't break up, or we did break up, and he's still coming over for Easter, or it's unclear.
It's unclear at this point. So he was like, well, I don't want to cancel on your family last minute, and I want to stay true to my word. So I'll come to Easter still. But that doesn't mean you don't have to move out.
You guys live together?
Yes, we live together.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was like, you still should think about moving out and, like, all that stuff. Like, this doesn't mean we're cool. So I was like, okay. And so Easter was kind of terrible. yeah, we were just kind of, like fighting all day. Or I was just like, please forgive me. And he was like, no. But then after Easter, it kind of chilled out. like our like during the week, but he was still like, I don't see us staying together. I was ready to start a life with you, but now I'm unsure. And then he was kind of just like, I don't think I can forgive you for this. Like, that's not the kind of person I am. Like, I don't just forget stuff like this. And I was just trying to explain to him, like, it didn't mean anything. It was just like for fun. And I know like, that's not really an excuse, but I was like, now that you, I know like, that's a really big problem. I won't do it again. And so we stayed together, or we're still together, but our lease ends in August. And we're planning on moving together. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And then he's just like hot and cold all the time. Like, yeah. So he'll just like bring up random things like that relate to it. And it'll be like really mad. Like sometimes I'll just like try to kiss him and it'll be like, I remember what you did. So he's just been hot and cold. And like what really kind of bugs me is like every time the topic of like alcohol or partying comes up, he'll like make a comment about me. Oh, like we're just like watching.
Now he's like, oh, don't get too drunk because I can't trust you when you drink kind of thing.
Yeah. No. Like we were watching Survivor and they were like drinking beer on a boat. And I was like, that looks so fun. He's like, I know you'd get too drunk and like be crazy. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant by that comment. But.
And so just to get all the potential scenarios out of the way, like, do you get hammered all the time? Like, I don't, you know, I'm just.
Not really. Like, we'll like party with friends and it's just like kind of like small kickbacks. And I'm not usually too crazy. Like, I'll just dance and then.
So, yeah, like, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is there's a potential. This could be so many different things, right? Is it just hot in here? Well, why not give yourself something more? More pleasure, people. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. That's right. Get creative with your mind and get fantastical with it. Like, get all horned. Let's get horned up and let's touch ourselves. Each Dipsy story features characters that feel like real people in immersive scenarios, so you feel like you're right there. Ooh, find stories about an off-limits hookup with a professor or a costume party that takes things to the next level, or maybe a story where your partner tells you exactly what to do. That sounds fun. Dipsy also has wellness sessions to help you where you can. Chrissy, this is very serious stuff. Stop laughing.
I just get excited when excitement makes me giggle.
God, I can't go. I'm going to go home and, whew, baby. And for the listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/VIALL. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/VIALL. dipsystories.com/VIALL. Just because you are a grown-up doesn't mean you've outgrown bedtime stories. Hey guys, if you're watching YouTube, we're wearing some great merch. Sorry, I'm right, tie-dye hoodie, fan favorite. Get 20% off with code VIALL, vilefiles.com. Head to our store, buy some merch, check us out on YouTube because I look hot. We got a bunch of other stuff, breakup books, mugs. Anyways, just tell your loved ones how right you are. And you got some friends who are dating some assholes. Get them a He's Toxic t-shirt. Just a friendly reminder. Vilefiles.com, code VIALL for 20% off. You know, there could be a scenario, guy or girl, where, you know, young couple's going out and one person is like kind of, when they go out, they get sauced, right? And it's just like, you know, yeah. I've dated girls where it's just like, God, you're kind of an annoying drunk, you know, and it's just like a thing. And then something happens, right? And it's just like, it's not really about that one specific thing. It's just the whole body of work of like, you're just kind of a liability. You're not yourself when you're drunk. Now, I don't know if that's you. I'm just saying that's a scenario where I could see him using this situation and like focusing on this because he can be specific about this. But really it's about, you know, you constantly going out and like him not enjoying drunk you, right? I don't know. Yeah. Like, so that could be one thing, or this could be just about him processing you kissing anyone, right? Guy or girl.
Yeah.
And him having coming to terms with it, right? So let's just start there. Like, what do you think about that? Like in terms of you partying, or is it pretty normal? You're pretty responsible. Like, hey, we've all like had a night, but like, you, do you think there's any consistency there? Do you think there's anything about that? Or do you think that's a little nutty?
I'm usually really responsible. Yeah. I've never done like something super crazy that he's been like mad about like this.
So yeah, you think that's okay. So that's not, yeah. We don't think it's that. Okay.
Yeah. Cause like, yeah, just normally when we party, like the only thing he'll get like pissed off about is me going to bed early. Like I'll just be really tired and I'll like fall asleep. That's
literally the opposite of what I'm describing. So it sounds like you're fine. Now, when it comes to like kissing, right? Anyone, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, you know, and I don't know if Amanda has any thoughts, but like, I don't care if you're gay or straight, right? Like if you're in a monogamous relationship, you know, like, or if you're bisexual, like a lot of things, like if you're a bisexual person, like that's not like a hall pass to like make out with women if you're dating a guy just because you're bisexual. Like you're either committed to this person or not. It's about the person. So it's not like, and I think there's a lot of, especially if like if a guy is dating a bisexual woman, he'll be like, oh, what is that? Like, oh, could we get to have a threesome now or something? There's a lot of ignorance that can go in behind that. On the flip side, like you did gay, straight, whatever, you kissed someone else in a committed relationship. So at face value, I guess, you know, he has the right to be bothered by that. Okay, fine. He's bothered by it. We understand that. Now, what are we doing with that, right? Like, it sounds like he is still, to me, it sounds like he is processing how he thinks he should feel about it. And that's why you're getting a lot of inconsistency from him about like, we should break up. Wait, I'm going to go to your family for Easter. You should think about getting another place, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. And, you know, I don't know. But like at the end of the day, like, are you guys able to talk and work through this? Like, you know, it's one of those things, like if you, I wouldn't give a shit, but that's just me, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I know where I stand with my girlfriend, right?
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And we communicate and I'm very confident in how she feels about me and vice versa. So like, if that were to happen, I wouldn't think anything. But that's because we have a very solid foundation and understanding of where we stand with each other.
Yeah.
And for, I don't know, it doesn't sound like you guys have that for whatever reason. And maybe it's just he's young. There could be an immaturity thing there and him processing what it meant to him, seeing you kiss another person.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Have you asked him? Like, have you talked about the incident? I mean, like, it sounds, because up until this point, it's not, you're just been like, it didn't mean anything. But, like, have you discussed how it made him feel? Like, have you really got into it?
Yeah. Like, the day after it happened, I was like, I asked him, like, how he felt about it a bunch of times. And I was more focused on, like, forgive me, please. Sure, yeah. So I feel like that was, like, I guess I got messed up in that sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you were expecting, you know, like from your point of view, like you're like, hey, I did this. It wasn't a big deal. And then it surprised you that he was mad about it. You got defensive, you know, a lot of those things. So I wouldn't be too hard on yourself that you messed up, but like you're still together. So like clearly this is salvageable if that's what you both want.
Yeah.
You know, my concern from him is I don't know if he has the emotional maturity to process this, but in fairness to him, I don't know if you guys tried.
So like, could I bring it up to him? Like,
if you guys are going to stay together, you're going to have to bring it up. You're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah. We can't just forget about it.
No, because what's going to happen if you quote unquote forget about it is he will poke the bear. Like he will bring this shit up. He will make it about drinking or whatever. He'll throw shit in your face. Like it bothers him, right or wrong. It bothers. That's how he feels something about it. Like he has the right to feel however he wants, and then you have the right to like decide whether you're okay with accepting his feelings and then talk with him about it. But like he has a feeling about it, and you guys have to work through that feeling. I mean, that's a relationship.
Yeah, just kind of hard because there's like a timeline on it. Like,
what do you mean?
Because we're moving. My lease ends in August. Okay.
It's April.
I know, but like I have to like think of where to move because I was thinking of moving like out of the city.
Uh-huh.
And
do you want to be I'm worried.
Like, yeah, we're planning on moving together, but now he's like, I don't know if I can commit because what if you make another mistake like that?
Like what? Like
like kiss another girl? I don't know. He's like, what if, like, the next time you're drunk, you just forget and you kiss another girl? Like, I don't know. He was like, then I couldn't trust you ever again.
So we're talking about trust. So, like, first of all, we don't even know if he understands that, listen, buddy, I was drinking, but I knew what I was doing. You know, like I consciously kissed that, my friend. Like whether that makes you mad or sad or not, I don't know. But I'm being honest with the fact that I chose to do that. I was having fun. Certainly my inhibitions were lowered and that's probably why I had some fun, but I'm not blaming it on the alcohol. I made that choice. Now, I didn't think it would bother you. Had I known it would have bothered you beforehand and had I asked you, I wouldn't have done it. So I want to also be clear on that, that like this is just a misunderstanding of our expectations for each other. And because we're young and we're still early in getting to know each other and haven't been dating for all that long, those are some things that we're going to get wrong along the way. And I want to talk with you about that. But like, I would never have gone behind your back had I known it would have bothered you. So like this is, you know, from my point of view, it's not necessarily about trust. It's about like me not knowing. So like I can't make you trust me, but I'm telling you, like, I'm never going to blame it on alcohol. Right. And now that I know this bothers you, I'm not going to do that again because it's not a priority for me. I'm not looking to like have an open relationship, whether it's with a guy or a girl. I'm looking to be in a committed relationship. And I didn't see that as right or wrong. I didn't see that as stepping out.
Okay. But,
you know, and see what he says about that. Right. Like keep the focus on what you guys are really arguing about. Because he's just kind of keep throwing these darts against him. Well, he's just mad. And it's like, it sounds like he doesn't know why he's mad, you know, because there's this whole like, well, you're straight. So like, if you're straight, then it didn't mean anything. But what if you were bisexual? You know, like, would it mean more or less to him? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Do you have...
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm the resident bi woman here. And I just wanted to say that, like, I think with this, there's like the internal stuff that's going on, like how you are feeling and how you are responding to your own like feelings and desires. And then there's all of the external stuff, the obligations you have to him, like, you know, wanting to figure out moving and whatnot. And I think it can be really easy to want to make the internal like self-discovery like shift to meet those external needs. And this could have been nothing. Like I'm not telling you that like this was something, but I do think it's worth like really ask, like sort of giving yourself the time to reflect on like, why did I want to kiss my friend? Because it's worthwhile for you to have a better understanding. And I think with him, like, he also has a lot of external stuff. I've been in a lot of situations where guys have said, oh, it's fine if you hook up with girls, like, I don't care about that. And then I have, and they haven't been fine with it. So like, there's a lot of stories that we all have around queerness that implicate, like, that affect the way we think we should behave. But I think as much as you can sort of like turn the volume down on those and just give yourself a bit of time to think about how you're feeling, that is going to be provide you with like the insights you need to then have open conversations with him. Because I'm sure a part of him kind of feels emasculated and he's confused and he wants some answers from you. And it can be really easy to just tell him what he wants to hear and like move forward. And you might go to those same conclusions, but I think it is worth doing like the due diligence of like really sitting with yourself and being like, let me explore this. Like, let me not explore this through the lens of I need to figure out how to get my boyfriend back and how to make sure that we're going to move in together, but just a what did I want? What was going through my head? Is that something I want again?
Yeah.
My guess is too, is when you asked him, he was like, yeah, whatever. And then he saw you kiss her and he, and from his point of view, it looked like you enjoyed it more than he thought it would look like. Right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean potentially anything. Just expectations didn't meet reality for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him being, I was like, oh, I didn't make my friend uncomfortable, right? And he was like, no, I think she enjoyed it or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, to Amanda's point, I definitely don't think you should, as a girlfriend in a committed relationship, it's good that you are empathetic to whatever he's feeling and you're considering his feelings, right? But to Amanda's point is, you know, he can feel mad. It doesn't immediately mean that you did anything wrong.
Okay.
Based on what you're telling me, this sounds like poor communicating in an environment where, you know, when you're drinking, often that can happen, right? Like, what did he say to you when you said, but you said I could, I told you, like, what was his response to that?
He said, so I kissed her twice. I kissed her before I asked that. That was the problem.
Oh God. So we're arguing over semantics for a hint.
I kissed her and then I was like, oh, I just did this. Is it cool? And he was like, yeah. And then I kissed her like one more time. So he was just like, no, you asked after you did it.
Okay.
So that was like,
so that changes the game for him.
Yeah. I feel like if I asked before, he wouldn't have been as upset, but he was like, you already did it. So whatever, like I wasn't going to say no. And he was like, I didn't want to upset you on your birthday.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would have a discussion about his feelings with him.
Okay.
Why do you feel this way? How did it make you feel? That would be probably.
And if you're going to hold him to that bar of emotional honesty and like ask him to be vulnerable and like really explore some stuff, because it's, he can feel really emasculated or betrayed. And if you're going to ask him to sort of like enter that space and really honestly explore that, you need to make sure that you've also done the personal work on your own. And like you're holding yourself to that same standard, so that way you can provide that same level of like vulnerability and honesty that you want from him in this conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I mean, are you referring to like how much she liked it or didn't like it?
Yeah. Or just like how it came about, like understanding the circumstances of
why,
it. Like,
have
why
you thought
you
about why
choice?
You wanted to make out with your friend?
Sometimes when I get drunk, I just kiss my friends for fun. Like, I've done it like before. I just was single, so I didn't really have to, like, no one got mad at me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't personally relate, but I don't know if that's a thing.
I don't know. My friend, one of my friends who I've kissed before is like, yeah, I do it all the time. It's normal, but I don't know.
I don't normal, you know, people do it. I mean,
we can
take the normal kind of thing away, you know, like,
yeah,
I have had plenty of conversations with all sorts of different women. Right. And yeah, I've met whether they identify as bisexual or straight, you know, I've had straight women say, yeah, I don't mind. I like kissing women sometimes. And they still identify as straight. And I've had other women be like, I've kissed a girl in college, but like, I just did it for the reaction. I don't really enjoy it. I also don't mind it, right? You know, like I've had girls say they can kiss girls and they feel more comfortable with doing that, right? And they're still like, yeah, it's not for me, right? But they still like, it's specific for the reaction, you know, or just, you know, and maybe to Amanda's point, that's what, do you have a clear answer of why? Do you do it for the reaction or you because there's some sort of enjoyment out of it?
It's not for the reaction, but it's also not like sexual. It's more just like, I don't know, it's fun. It's just like,
okay, I don't
feel,
know, no judgment on this side. I can't relate.
I just feel love for my friend and I'm like, I want to kiss you because I love you as a friend.
Okay.
But are I we, don't know, and are, maybe also he has a heart, he maybe
again, that's fine, but like,
but it
I have
like a
so much
kiss.
Love for my friends and I've never wanted to stick my tongue down their throat.
It wasn't like a long kiss. It was like a fast kiss with tongue for like a second. I don't know. It was not like it wasn't a quality kiss.
Do you want to make it work with this guy?
Yeah, I really do.
Why? Are you okay with how he's handled this?
How he's handled this is making me question it a little bit, actually, just because like, I don't know. I just don't want to feel guilty every time I make a comment about alcohol and
exactly,
like
right?
That.
So I think how this situation is handled as far as you and your boyfriend goes is like a big hurdle for you guys and a big opportunity potentially, right? I don't think you should just try to like make it go away because you don't want to break up, right? I don't think you try to fix the problem because you don't want to not move in. Like this is kind of a pivotal moment for you guys and how you guys communicate problems and like whether it's you making out with another girl or anything, right? Like this is a situation that came about through miscommunication.
Yeah.
So it could be a million different things and how we're handling miscommunication and the combination of not understanding your feelings and maybe him feeling you can emasculate him a bunch of different ways. It doesn't require you to make out with people and you can do that unintentionally, right? And vice versa. And he can make you feel a certain way. So like you guys have to figure out how you guys can address these things without him waking up and be like, we should break up. Here's why. And then putting you like making you feel like you're in a hostage situation. And then like, just like being okay with it, being hot and cold, being not okay with it. And just like being unclear. You're very confused about where you stand with your actual boyfriend. And that's not okay. Right. Regardless of how you got here. Like that's not how a couple figures out their problems. So to me, your biggest problem is this inability to solve problems with your boyfriend. Because I promise you, if you stay together and you marry this guy, this will be one of the smallest problems you guys have ever had to face. Right? This is not a big deal. This is a small deal. He's having a hard time processing it. And then, you know, maybe he's sensing something from you that he's just, you know, and you guys aren't communicating and you're not really getting into the meat of what the problem is. And I think that's the big problem. And I think that's what you should focus on.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. And your goal shouldn't be fix the problem so you can move in. The goal should be figuring out how can we get through this where we really feel like we've resolved this. Now we're on the same page. And you're like, you both should feel glad about, like, I'm really glad we spent some energy and some time and maybe some days and weeks talking about this and working through it. And now we both feel like we're in a good place and we're ready to move forward. We're not going to bring it up and throw it in each other's faces. And if you can't get there, then you should really consider moving on.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much for all your advice.
Best of luck.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Great. What's your name?
My name is Joe. I'm 25 and I'm from Indiana.
Hi, Joe, 25. How can I help?
Well, so I'm going through a pretty rough breakup at the moment. And I think I have come to lose myself within that relationship, and I will explain that. So I met my boyfriend on Valentine's Day, and we became immediately, like, inseparable.
When you really say, was it like this Valentine's Day this year?
No, 2019.
Okay.
So we've been together for a little bit over 2 years.
Okay.
So he has two kids with two different women. And so I moved in with him and his children at 11 months. And that will be exactly a year and a half ago. Really, I left my parents' house after college. I met him like probably 8 or 10 months after I graduated college. So I moved in with him 11 months later.
From mom and dad's house?
From my grandparents. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. From mom and dad's house. So, you know, we have a really good relationship. Like, we still are like, we're both moving out tomorrow, and like, we're, you know, probably not a good idea, but we're still, you know, friendly and not being mean towards each other, because basically, you know, this breakup came from learning that he has been keeping a pretty significant problem from me for about 2 years. So
like the entire relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't know. And like, basically, it's, you know, a personal issue that I won't divulge.
So he's been keeping a secret, and you found out about the secret, and you broke up because of the secret?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we kind of broke up. Essentially, like, he, you know, explained that he's not going to have a child with me. That's just a non-negotiable. That is not okay with me. Like, that's my plan for life, you know.
Great.
And I think for both of us, we just realized, like, it's that time where, like, because he had just asked my parents for permission to propose to me about 4 weeks ago. So I think.
Okay. And now you're having a hard time. What?
Now I'm having a hard time with having integrated myself in with someone else's family and taking care of children, taking care of, you know, all of it. And then I'm about to move back in with my parents for 2 months until my apartment's ready. But like, I have an apartment to move in June. And, you know, I put myself in the best place because it's like a young community with all kinds of amenities and all kinds of stuff like that. So I think like I'll be in the place to make friends and like have like a new normal. But like, I guess I just don't remember how to do that after all this time.
So you're just scared, basically?
Probably.
Well, yeah, I think you are. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like, in your email, you're saying you're still sleeping in the same bed, having sex, living together, but you broke up when?
About 2 weeks ago.
So you're not really broken up then?
I mean, I guess we are. Like, that's the plan. He got an apartment. I got an apartment.
You guess? Like, now you... Okay. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, like, we're broken up. Like, we're broken up, but we're still... I mean, until we move out tomorrow, we're still here.
You move out tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. So what is your question?
I guess it's like, do I keep having sex with him? Do I, like, still, like... Because, like, he's really not a bad guy to me. Like, nothing he's done is unforgivable. It's just not, you know, for the rest of my life. So,
All right.
Like, he's literally moving down the street from me. Like, he's moving, like,
so
a
what?
Stoplight away from me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, all your decisions you've made since you've broken up, like, seem all based off of fear or whatever. But if I'm hearing you right, without the details, is, like you said, you have a non-negotiable, and that is you want to have children. Sounds, you know, he also, like, told this lie, whatever it is. He doesn't want to have kids with you. He's got some issues. And you stood your ground, at least for the moment, right? And said, this is not what I want. And now, as you are about to move out, start over, especially as that's what you're telling yourself, you're struggling with it. You're scared, right? You had this idea of something, right? Settling down, falling in love, getting proposed to, the romantic aspect of, oh, yes, my parents to get engaged, and it probably felt good. And I never thought I had would have a guy fall in love with me, and I never thought I'd live with a guy and get to know his kids and then have us break up and find out a secret or find out he lied to me. And this shit happens every day to people. Yeah. Like, you're only, and you are only 25, right? You are still really young. So you're just, like, you're just scared, right? And, like, now... You're second guessing your decision to, you know, stick up for your non-negotiables. So I think you should see it through. And this whole, like, you're 25, you're moving into, like you said, a new, like, kind of luxury apartment building, you know, young professionals, I'm sure will be a bunch.
Very different for me.
Yeah. So
totally out of my comfort zone, but I know.
Different. Yeah. But, like, you know, you get a new comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, you want your own kids, right? What are you scared of?
Like, regression almost.
Regression,
like,
of what?
Of just, like, before I got in this relationship, I was still a child. You know what I mean? Like, I was right out of college. I was doing childish things. And it's like, seeing as how the only friends I've had are the friends I had prior to this relationship, really, because I mean, COVID, and we moved to BFE, so I mean, like, it's hard to, like, not go back to those same people and, like, do the same dumb stuff, you know what I mean?
And what would be so bad if you did? Like, who are you trying to prove anything to? Like, is there, like, you need to be a mom? Like, well, you're breaking up with them, you know? You know, like, I get it, right? Like, you're 25 is a kind of one of those ages where it feels very old to people who turn 25, you know, and think that, you know, when they were 20, again, we talked about this. Well, you know, you spend most of your teenage years having all these dreams about where you're going to be at 25. You know, and all of those dreams are going to be, like, settled out, and you're going to be a mom, and you're going to, you know, take your kids to school. Like, I mean, and then 25 shows up, and, you know, it's not 1970 anymore. And if you want to, like, settle down and have kids, and that's great, and you find your person, that's awesome. But, like, what you're doing is second guessing your decision about what you know deep down is right for you and what you want for your future and for the rest of your life, because you're afraid of not living up to whatever goals you set for yourself when you were 19. That's nuts, right? Like, why can't you go on a trip to Florida with a bunch of girlfriends and get stupid drunk and crazy, you know, when the pandemic's over, or you're, you know, all that shit? Like, why not? You're 25.
Right. Like, I should be able to do that. I'm 25. I'm not in the same situation coming out of this relationship that he is. And I have...
You don't have, no one said you have to, like, stop having fun and being, you know, doing stupid shit when you, like, turn 23 or 24 or 25. You know, was every day with him wild and fun? Did you ever miss going out and being goofy and acting like a shit show, you know?
No, I mean, we had our occasions, but no, I mean, I did. I definitely missed the girl time more than anything. And now I just am like, really, I guess that's what I'm most, you know, oh gosh, I'm not a girl's girl all the time. So I've got
to. That's okay. But what you have to do is when you actually move out, you need to stop having sex with them. You stop hanging out with them. You got to stop being friends with them. You got to cut them out. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to move out. You're going to go out with some friends and maybe have fun one couple nights. But inevitably, yeah, you'll go out and be like, oh, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. And you'll hang out with some like drunk girl and be like, this isn't me. I'm like more mature than this. And then you'll regress by like hanging out with him because you'll ignore all the things that like you broke, you know, for the wrong reasons. And then you'll just go back to the comfort and the stability of the relationship, right? Meanwhile, none of those problems really went away. So like you need to just decide that he is not for you. You've made this decision. Stand, you know, trust your gut. And it doesn't mean he's a horrible person. It doesn't mean everything about the relationship was shitty. It doesn't mean you hated him. It doesn't mean you couldn't stand being around him. You liked all those things, right? It just means that this is not the relationship that you wanted for yourself for the rest of your life. This is not your best case scenario. It means that you want something else, and that might take a year or two to find. Mm-hmm. So what? Yeah. So in the meantime, like have good days, have bad days, be lonely, have fun with friends, go date, meet new guys, have some sex, don't have some sex, whatever. Like, yeah. You know, embrace the freedom and the unknown and be open to finding someone else. But like, you know, being afraid to trust your gut is only going to have you waste your time. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound like anything about, like, I don't know the specifics, no. But like, you know, his kids aren't going away. So he's going to be a dad. Yeah. Him want, like, yeah. You don't want a guy to like resentfully get you pregnant, you know? And the fact that you really haven't, you know, you went from mom and dad's house to his, like maybe you have some growing up to do. And just because you were playing house with him doesn't mean you matured. You know, you'll learn a lot about yourself living on your own and yeah. struggling on your own and mm-hmm. finding new friends. And that's maybe something you need to do. I would not run back to him when you get bored and lonely. You're going to get bored and lonely. I promise you that much. Mm-hmm. Like it's not always, there's no guarantee just because you realize that someone's not right for you and that a future with your partner isn't your best fit. There's no, just because you just finally realize that and that's a good thing, doesn't like ensure that you're going to meet the right fit in a month or two or 6 months. Like, no, but people expect that to happen. It's like, oh, you know, like you're not my person. I want to get back out there. And then like 2 months go by, you're like, what the fuck? I'm bored and lonely. And like, I don't know. It was like better then, you know? And
yeah,
it's not, you know, so you just got to be mindful of that. So,
okay. Absolutely.
Stop sleep. Like you shouldn't. You move out tomorrow. Like don't have mm-hmm. don't have one more. Like I mean, I guess do what you want. Like today, but once you move out, it's you need to cut him off. Cut his kids off. Yeah. You know this whole like oh well you know yeah and it's sad and they'll be okay but like that's you have to do that. And the fact that he is moving away down the street, well, go out of your way to avoid him. And don't let them gaslight you or shame you or make you feel bad for like wanting your space and cutting them off and say, hey, listen, I need to move on. And this is, and if he ends up hating you for it, that's okay. You know, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to get mad and angry. That's fine. But you need to focus on you. Like you got to stop focusing on this like pretend family that you've, you know, created over the past couple of years.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree with everything.
Best of luck.
Your time so much. Thank you so much.
You're going to get bored and lonely. Just fight it when you do.
I'll be strong. All right. Thank you.
There's something better for you. All right.
I know.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Hi, Nick.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Allison. I'm 24.
Hi, Allison. How can I help?
Hi. So I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So I kind of like my friend's ex-boyfriend, but I would say like I'm not really friends with her anymore. So coincidentally, but as of before, like, the pandemic, I would say, like, her and, like, her group of friends were, like, my club friends. Like, I don't know if I would consider her, like, an actual genuine friend. And I saw her, like, maybe 2 times last year. But the thing is, like, she still thinks we're good friends. So, anyway, she broke up with her now ex-boyfriend maybe, like, 2 months ago. And I would say, like, not that we, like, flirted with each other, but it was, like, I always, like, got a vibe, or I feel like we, like, always, like, had a thing. And I'm kind of, like, shy and weird around guys. For me to, like, be comfortable around someone and, like, have good banter and, like, all of that, like, I don't know, I feel like maybe now he's available, with that's why I'm liking him. But so, like, my question is, I don't know if I should pursue it, and, like, I don't know if, like, how to go about it, and I don't even know if he likes me, so it's, like, I don't know.
Well, let's focus on your friends first.
Yes, well, friend, eh.
So, but she thinks you're friends with her.
Yes.
Why? And why aren't you friends with her?
I think that, I, like, would say I hold my friends to, like, a high standard, and, like, she has, like, a sister that she's really close with, so she's not as close with her friends, so I feel like she doesn't get the same out of her friendships that, like, I get from my friendships. So she, like, her definition of a friendship is different than me.
So are you, like, you're not friends with her, or you're just, like, you don't like her? You could give, like, a shit what she thinks about you.
That's the thing is, like, I like her, but it's, like, and I would feel a little bad, but it's just, like, we're really not close anymore. Like, I barely talk to her.
Okay.
Like, she actually called me for 2 hours telling me when she broke up with him, and I thought that was very weird because I haven't heard from her for months, and I was like, wait, like, are we on that level?
Okay. What do you think you should do?
So, like, I know it sounds bad, but it's, like, I feel like if I'm, like, that comfortable around him, and, like, there's so many reasons where I could see, like, it working, like, I feel like I don't know if I should go about it in a way that's not that aggressive. Like, maybe I could just, like, casually, like, pursue a friendship with him and then see what happens. I don't know.
What about these other friends? Like, I mean, here's the thing. I guess you just have to, if you don't really care about what this girl thinks about you, I don't know how tight your, like, friend group is, or, like you said, your club friends. I mean, the pandemic's going to be ending soon. You know, do you think you could develop a reputation based off of this? I mean, listen, it's going to sound, the optics, if we're just considering optics, the optics are going to look shitty that she called you and you let her talk for 2 hours about her boyfriend, and then you pursued the boyfriend. Like, I get, you know, I get it. You didn't ask her to call. I understand that you never, you know, and you're right. It can make a lot of sense where you're like, I'm not that good of friends with them. And then that happens all the time. People are all of a sudden like, someone asked me to stand up in their wedding. I didn't know we were friends. Like, that happens. I get it, right? But she shouldn't find out. The right thing to do if you wanted to just be kind of a stand-up person is to have her not find out from anyone else but you that you want to pursue this guy. I mean, listen, you don't have to do it, but if you ask me what's, like, the most noble and high character thing to do, that would be it. Because you being friends with her or not friends with her has nothing to do with, like, you know, your character or doing the right thing. You don't owe it to her. It's not the end of the world, but there's a reason why you're calling and asking. You know, there's something inside of you that kind of feels like it could be wrong, and now you're trying to justify it and convince yourself that it's not that big of a deal, but at least it's some kind of deal. Right?
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I know if I was to even bring it up, like, she would just go off.
Sure. Like, but at least you're letting her know. It's not about whether she's going to be mad or not. You're not trying to save the relationship. You said you're not even that interested in being friends with her, but you're just saying, hey, listen, that would be the high character thing to do. And, you know, not everyone's going to do that. Most people aren't going to do that.
I agree.
But I'm just trying to like address the thing that's causing you to call in and ask.
Yeah. So like,
right. Because
that's like part of it. But the thing, like the other like main thing is like, I'm 24 and I've never had a boyfriend. Right. So I feel like I'm always looking, or like I'm interested in guys I know aren't like a good idea. Or like, I feel like, I don't know if I'm like self-sabotaging, or it's like I'm making it easier for myself where I
are you
know
on dating apps?
Gonna happen.
Yeah, why? I mean, what's so special about this guy that he's so much better than all the other guys on the dating apps that you think you should pursue him solely based off the fact that like he was friendly to you?
No, that's the thing is like, I feel like I don't meet enough guys in like the industry that I'm in and stuff. I'm around like gay guys all the time. Like I'm really like not around that many, but
sure, but like people work from home and work with, yeah, that's work is one way to meet people, and I get the pandemic has really slowed like socializing down, but I mean dating apps, like you
they're like really bad right now. I don't know if like
are you going on dates? Like when you go on a dating app, like, let's focus on your dating app etiquette. Like what's that like?
I like probably could spend more time on it, but I feel like it always ends up better when like a guy likes me on the app. Like
what
I actually
do you mean by that?
Pay. Like I feel like when they like me, and normally like they initiate it and actually go somewhere, as opposed to like if I was to just like them, like the chances of me matching with them are like, I don't know, and I feel like it never even happens
because they're
also
pursuing
I think I'm too picky. I realize that, but I don't know. It just, I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. But you have a lack of experience. And so you sound like you have a bit of a juvenile approach to dating, if I'm being honest, right? You seem very sweet, and there's a lot of, but yeah. And so
please be blunt.
It's a little, like this whole idea that you like the guy in the friend group, like it's a very kind of high schoolish, you know? I don't know this guy. You're not like, I love him. I know everything about him. We're best friends. Like, he's kind of cute. He's flirted with you, maybe. But he's been, like, kind of nice. You think maybe you've had a connection, but you're not sure. That's high school, you know? That could be, you described literally anyone on the dating app or at a bar.
No, yeah.
You know? So, like, you're even though you're not friends with her, you know, like it's just drama that you're potentially inviting into your life. And also you're going to get a reputation of, it's not going to go over well for you. Like this girl's going to like,
no, yeah, my reputation
she's going to talk a lot of shit. And listen, I wouldn't tell you to worry about that. If you were like, hey, like there's a scenario which you can convince me you should go for this guy, but you're not convincing me, you know, there's nothing there other than like, you think maybe you like him.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's the thing is I think I fixate on like little things just because I don't have anything really to compare it to.
So I think you kind of need to grow up a little bit when it comes to dating, right? And I think you need to do things that don't necessarily come easily and get a little uncomfortable with, you know, shooting your shot, getting rejected by a guy, you know, having a guy go out with you. Like if you're on your dating apps, like, are you having any conversations with guys you're matching with?
Yeah, but it's like it never really goes anywhere, or I feel like,
are you always waiting for them to ask you to go? So like, have you said, hey, do you want to like FaceTime date tonight or Zoom date, or do you want to grab a cup of coffee or go for a walk?
I've done that a few times, and actually like this year I would say I had like a date planned with maybe like 5 guys, and they all cancel like the day of or the day before. It's just been like,
yeah, and listen,
yeah,
I don't doubt that it's discouraging, but it's okay. It's just keep on going. What do you, they're all canceling.
And this has happened to me like probably a lot over the years.
What are you doing on, like what are, how much conversations are you having with them leading up to these planned dates?
I feel like I used to tell people too much, and I've learned like recently, like they're not entitled to know like a lot of things. Like why do they get to know I never had a boyfriend, or like why should I tell them half these things? So now I don't know if that means like
shouldn't tell
I'm
them
coming
shit.
Off why cold are... or not. No, exactly. And I haven't been, but like I don't know if that means I'm coming off cold now or I'm not saying anything, but it's just like I feel like I want to tell them the bare minimum now.
You can tell them about yourself. I'm assuming there's a lot about you in general, right? you don't have to like, but you're focused on your dating life. So don't be closed off. Like, you know, movies, like what do you like your likes and dislikes, your sexual history, your dating history, your personal stories, family drama. Like, that's none of their fucking business. They're strangers, right? But like, your interests, what makes you laugh, you know, like those are first date kind of conversations. That's okay to share. Like, just, you know, like, are you asking? I mean, I don't think in a dating app situation, like, it's solely based off of looks for the most part. So like, I definitely think both men and women make the mistake of talking too much via text on a dating app. Just get to a Zoom date or get to a FaceTime date, get to a walk in the park, get to a face-to-face encounter, you know, because everything else prior to that is going to have miscommunication in it, right? And you're right, there's going to be, you know, there's the fuck boys and ghosting, and a lot of people have so many options, and everyone is going to experience the last minute ghosting or the last minute like cancellations. That's an unfortunate result of the abundance of dating apps and how much access we have to like anyone's DMs, TikTok. Like, everyone has all this access. That's going to happen. So I think you need to power through that and just keep focusing on that, because my guess is you've decided you like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Based off the fact that it seems to be the most convenient and easiest option. And I don't doubt that he's attractive and but yes, I think it's not worth it based off the information you're telling me to risk much for this guy. Risk your reputation, yeah. Risk this girl who like hurting this girl's feelings, even if you're not like, there's a lot of collateral damage to pursue a guy that you have convinced yourself you like based off of convenience.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It's mostly that's like, convenience. You're still only 24. Just kind of go out, have some fun, you know, like hopefully this pandemic ends soon. The summer, everyone's going to be real excited this summer. And you know,
so yeah, I live in Brooklyn, and I have to say the city's like getting back, and I used to like go out. I feel like that's how I used to meet guys. So like just this past year has been like hard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I were in my early 20s, I don't know if I'd want to be single this summer.
No. Yeah. I'm over it. I think it's just like now I'm happy with my job now, and I'm just getting at a point where I'm just like angry and I'm over it. Like, I feel like I'm 24. Like, come on already. I'm just over it.
You're only 24. Over what?
I don't know. Yeah. Like not having a boyfriend. I'm the only one of my friends, and it's been like that for years.
And they're all blissfully happy?
Well, maybe they make it out to be, but
yeah, I don't know. It's not
or
a
they
race.
All act like they're married, and I'm just trying to like go out and have a good time.
Yeah, we'll make new friends.
Yeah, that's another thing. I'm home from work, so it's like trying.
I think keep trying. Don't get discouraged. You got a fun summer coming up. You know, practice safe sex. I think syphilis and herpes are going to come back in a big way this summer. So be careful. But other than that, just embrace the freedom and the excitement that's certainly going to come from the next several months of people getting vaccinated and the pandemic, you know, winding down and the excitement going out. And you know, there's a drawback to that, but just have fun, enjoy it, embrace, you know, get out there and push yourself to, you know, don't worry about what other people are doing. Just challenge yourself to not get discouraged and meet guys and don't let your being discouraged get you to settle on anyone.
I think like the only thing is like, I feel like as good as all this sounds, it's like, I feel like I never take people's advice. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's something you should practice.
No, yeah.
Or you could just keep doing the same thing over and over. You know, and we all know what that is, right? So you'll be okay. You're gonna figure it out. And I'm not saying forget about this guy, but I don't think there's any reason to go out of your way and go out on a limb and like pursue this guy really hard.
Like, yeah, I think I only like him just because there's no one right now. Yeah. But
so maybe you'll run into him later this summer, and maybe you guys have, you know, and if you guys have a hot night and he's just going hard to the paint, like, and he wants to make out, fucking go for it. But other than that,
That's the thing. I feel like he has to initiate it. Or the thing is, like, I feel like I normally always initiate everything. So it's like I feel bad to go out of my way and do that.
Well, I wouldn't feel bad, but I would just keep open mind. Keep dating.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try. It's not fun now.
You're going to be fine. You're only 24. And
you're
going to be okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, best of luck. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, what a great episode. Thanks so much for listening again. Tune in tomorrow for our conversation with Dave Holmes, an update in all things Bachelor Nation news. We'll discuss, obviously, Colton coming out. We'll discuss what's next on the horizon for Bachelor Nation. Katie season, Paradise, Michelle season. We'll talk maybe a little bit of Chris Harrison, casting of The Bachelor. You know, I have some thoughts on that. And I think it'll be a very interesting episode. And on Wednesday, Susan Cain joins us to talk about being an introvert versus extrovert. And you won't want to miss that because we all have a lot to learn about ourselves. Bye.